This is Digital Story Podcast number 684, April 23rd, 2019. Today's theme is How an Artist Evolves. I'm Derek Story. On one level, evolution seems inherent in the artistic process. Creativity is both exploration and problem solving. This is all fine in theory, but what about the practical reality of being an artist in today's economy? How does it work? In today's podcast, I share my findings based on conversations with two creatives tackling this very topic. I hope you enjoy the show. So this is a bit of an unveiling. I've been working on this project. Now, Inner Circle folks have known about it. They've actually helped me vet it, but now I'm going to bring it to the general public, right? I'm going to bring it to our photography community and anyone else who will listen. And I've started a new podcast called the Nimble Photographer Podcast. Now, the Nimble Photographer, of course, has been around for a while, but I never really could nail down exactly what he was searching for. And I discovered what his quest would be, and his quest would be to find artists who have redefined the meaning of success for them. So these podcasts, this new series, interviews people, artists, from all different walks. So we have photographers, we'll have writers, musicians, painters, all different types of artists who have, one way or another, survived in today's economy, and have redefined success. And part of that redefinition of success is sometimes letting go of their preconceived notions going into their artistic endeavor. And also, I think part of it is just not listening to other people, right? Just kind of sitting down and going, what does this mean to me? What makes me happy? How can I make a living? You know, just answering those basic questions for yourself. So I have two very interesting artists to kick this off. The first one is Trey Ratcliffe, and many of you will know him because he's a very popular photographer. He embraced HDR very early on, and he does some very dramatic landscapes. Plus, he's in all sorts of different types of projects, of which he talks about during his interview. The second artist that I sat down and talked with was Ben Long. Now, Ben Long started out as a book author and was having a very nice career writing books until the crash of 2008. And then he discovered that he could no longer make a living doing that and had to reinvent himself. And he has some very interesting thoughts on that process. So what I wanted to do today was just sort of introduce you to this podcast, to this concept, and to these two gentlemen. Even if you know them, you will probably hear things that you haven't heard before. So I want to start out with Trey, and the excerpt that I'm going to play for you from our conversation has to do with the notion of success and failure. And I thought it was very interesting. I did not know that he was going to go down this path during our interview. He did, and I'm really glad that he did. So let me play this for you, and then I'll jump in and talk about it.
Society, schooling, and the workplace and everything, they are all built around punishing failure and rewarding success. And, you know, it is a very strange school system that we have, really. Like, let's say you have a class with 20 people in it. You know, only a couple people can be like the best, right? Can get like A pluses and A's and to be at the top of the class, right? Only a few people can be in the top 10%, which ends up making the other 90% of people feel like failures. And this is a very negative thing that's reinforced year after year after year, until you get to about age 20, and now this is reinforced that if you're in the 90%, which most people are statistically, you just kind of feel like a failure, and you're always getting punished, and you're not getting rewarded. You're like, oh, why bother? But this is a terrible system in a lot of ways, because that's not how life is. Because once you're a grown up, you can have as many failures as you want. The punishment is minimal or nil, And you have to try a bunch of different things just to have successes, right? Real life is not like school. So I think school really fucks up people's brains and takes them a while to deprogram themselves into realizing you could do a bunch of different things. And it's okay if 90% are failures, because they will be statistically. The 10% that are successes will be awesome.
And in fact, to add on to that, those failures are often really great learning experiences. And then ultimately, you know, things we learn from those help us succeed somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. You can learn a lot from every failure. Sometimes you don't always learn. Sometimes you make the same mistakes a couple times. So that's all right. You know, it's totally fine. And I think a big part of it is not to take yourself so seriously. That's a big thing. So if people have failures, they feel like a failure, rather than having a project or an idea be a failure. A project or an idea is not all-encompassing of a person's identity. And too often people tie up their ego and their identity into a particular project or idea, and that's a fallacy from the get-go. And one of my favorite quotes related to what you just said is from Winston Churchill, who seemed to be just this nonstop quote generator. He said, success is the ability to go from one failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm.
Now, at first, I thought Trey was saying that everybody is a winner kind of thing, or at least that was my impression when he started down this path. But then I realized that it isn't that at all. Really, what he's talking about is that and this applies to art and really just about everything else, that why is it that just a few should be singled out as successful and everyone else doing interesting stuff is not a success if they don't hit, you know, certain milestones? And I thought that was fascinating. And I think that reevaluating what success is to you, and especially, you know, we're focused here on art and photography, and especially related to your photography, and defining it in ways that are meaningful to you, and maybe not just like winning a contest or being published or making money or any of those, you know, traditional, you know, badges of success, but maybe in terms of, you know, saying, hey, I really liked this shoot that I just did. And every time I look at this series of shots, I feel really good. In fact, I feel better than I have felt in a long time. You know, it could be things like that. It could be finally getting the gear that you've always wanted, or the lighting equipment, or being able to set up a studio that always just seemed just right out of reach. How is that defined for you? And does it have to be, you know, all the standard things that we so often have kind of not forced upon us, but basically all around us anyway? And it's something really worth thinking about, and it's something that I have thought about as well. So at any rate, I loved that line of thinking with Trey. And again, I'm going to give you links at the end of this segment so that you can listen to, you know, the whole interview, because I have the whole interview for both Trey and Ben. This is a show where you're definitely going to want to go to the show notes, because I have links galore on so many different things, including the interviews with Trey and Ben. Okay, now let's go over to Ben. And Ben was very interesting. So I went out to San Francisco, and I wanted to sit down with Ben and chat with him about he being a book author. I mean, that's who he was, or what he was doing for a living when I first got to know him, and then how suddenly he had to totally reinvent himself when the book market crashed, the technical book market crashed. And what I mean by that is that there just wasn't the money there anymore for someone to say, I'm a technical book writer and I can make a decent living doing it. When that crashed in 2008, he had to look for other ways to make a living that were, you know, related to what he was interested in and what he knew. However, so we were talking about this, and it's very interesting, and you really should listen to the show where he's discussing that. But then this next segment just sort of came out of nowhere, and for him too. And this is where he brings up the idea, well, whoever said that you had to do what you loved for a living, and in fact, are you tarnishing what you love by trying to support yourself doing it. So I'm going to play this segment for you. And I just love this. And we were both afterwards, after we had this little talk here, we're both looking at each other going, wow, that was really cool. Where did that come from? So let's see what you think.
There's another question I think that every creative person or artist or however you want to define yourself struggles with, which is, do you want to mess up this thing you do with money? I have a friend in South Africa, a woman who, she works at a bank. I'm gonna say it like that rather than saying she's a banker, because I don't know that she defines herself as a banker, but she works at an investment bank in Cape Town, and she is one of the most freely creative people that I've ever met. When she chooses to do something, she just goes in this fearless way and just starts producing work, and it's great to watch, and I've watched her do that with lots of different kinds of photography. And one time when we were in the same place, which doesn't happen very often with someone in South Africa, but I noticed something and I said, it occurs to me that when you were growing up, no one ever told you that what you like to do and what you do for a living are supposed to converge. And she just looked at me confused. And I said, well, you know, no one ever said, oh, do what you love and the money will follow or things like that. And she said, I live in a country with 40% unemployment. She said, I'm really glad to have a job. She said, I don't like my job, but it pays me very well. I own my house. And at 5 o'clock, my time is my own. And on weekends, it's mine. And I do what I want with it. And I think what that gives her is fantastic creative freedom, because when she's looking through a camera, she's not thinking, you know, if I could get just a little bit better at this, I could make a living at it. That's never on the table for her, to think that she needs to build it up into something that can pay. And I'm actually envious of the space that she gets to stay in, that I feel like I lost a long time ago.
How do you think we fell into that trap of thinking that we had to do what we love in order to make a living? I mean, why did we mesh them together and she didn't? Is it cultural, you think?
I think it's cultural.
Okay.
I think it's this American promise that you get to have it all. You get to make a great living and do what you love to do and so on and so forth. Whereas, like she said, it's practical here. It's 40% unemployment. Mm-hmm. Her story was that she had a degree, I think, in environmental studies or something. She couldn't make any money at that, so she got a law degree and got hired by a bank. And someone in the bank said, you'd do better in this organization if you had an MBA. So she went and got an MBA. So talk about reinvention. She was just following, like, what do I need to do to survive? And it led her into a very comfortable place. But along the way, she got to keep the things that were hers as hers. And I definitely feel like I have not, no one's taken anything from me. It's just internally, I mean, I have to imagine you have this also, that every shot you take, you're wondering, can I do something with this? Is this useful to me somehow in a commercial way? And I don't mean that you're a sellout, I just mean, can I use this in a book? Can I teach something from this? Is this a good asset for this or that or whatever?
I agree with you 100% on this. And in fact, now that you bring it up, it would be kind of nice not to have that in the back of my head when I'm out taking pictures. I think that's one of the reasons when I'm wearing my photographer hat that I do like shooting with these little portable cameras and the smartphone and stuff, because to me that kind of takes me back to my creative roots. I can just do anything that I want, anything right. That comes to my mind, and it's really fun, and it reminds me of the early days of photography for me. Isn't that kind of interesting? And I love, you know, the anecdote that he tells about this young woman who refuses to pollute her creative endeavors with her job. And I tell you, again, more food for thought. So this is the kind of stuff that I think is interesting to think about. And there's a lot going on right now. You know, I have two boys, millennial boys, who experience is very important to them. You know, experiencing, you know, life, experiencing different aspects of life, and more important to them than material things. And this is fascinating when you compare it to, let's say, my generation or other generations. And I think that this idea of what is the experience, you know, where does the satisfaction come from, and where do the practical aspects of, you know, whatever our creative endeavor, you know, what are those as well? I think mixing that all in is an ongoing conversation that I just find fascinating. I hope you do too. I'm not gonna, you know, go down this road too often on the digital story, because we have so many things to cover here. I've got a list as long as my arm. But I wanted to introduce you to the idea that I'm working on over at Nimble Photographer. And there are links to podcast itself, to getting it on iTunes, to getting on Google Play, to Stitcher. So the podcast is available in all those places. It's available on Apple Podcasts and all the normal places that you consume. And I have links to all those in the show notes. And of course, the site itself is thenimblephotographer.com. So you can just go over there, and there are the links to Google Play and all that stuff there as well. By the way, I did do a little housekeeping on the site, and I kind of, you know, fluffed it up a bit, made some changes. So I hope you appreciate that as well. This is a project that personally I'm really excited about. It fits in with a lot of questions that I ask about the creative process. My next guest on the show is going to be a musician, and I should have that published sometime next week. I'm really looking forward to that. In the meantime, you can listen to the entire interview with both Ben and Trey. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you check it out. And if you do, please subscribe. And if you like it, please post a review, because we're at that point right now where I need reviews and I need chatter about it. So other people that come to it will go, hey, this looks interesting. Oh, this guy liked it. Maybe I'll check it out. And if you do, I'm going to thank you right now for helping me out with this. All right. So that's over at thenimblephotographer.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and everywhere else. New online trainings for Capture One Pro 12 and Luminar 3 with libraries now available. That's right, not one, but two online trainings available with two of the really most interesting pieces of software out there for photographers. I'm going to start with Luminar 3 with libraries essential training. It's available on LinkedIn Learning and lynda.com. And this is essentially, right? The training that shows you how the library feature of this application works. So those of you that have been following what Skyline's been doing with Luminar is that Luminar started out with as this really cool image editor, and then they started adding artificial intelligence functionality to it, and it got even cooler. And then they decided to add a cataloging feature to it so that you could help organize your images. That came with Luminar 3, and that's what this essential training is about. So we start out with, okay, here's a quick start. Here's what you need to know. Here's how the catalog works. And then here's how you can be up to speed with it in just a few minutes. So I start the course out that way. But then I get into other aspects of Luminar that I think are really interesting, which is I show you the magic editing filters in Luminar. And these things are just crazy. The Orton effect, image radiance, golden hour, all those, you slide them and you go, I can't believe my image looks like this. And that's in a good way. I explain how to use Luminar with other applications. You know, I show you some really nice workflows with this application. So, yes, we tackle the library feature. Yes, we show you the highlights of the new image editing tools and just try to give you an overall feel for this application so that you can be up and running with it very quickly. It's an affordable app. I mean, you can usually get it for around $69. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. Plus, you can download it for free and use it for, I believe, 30 days before you have to pay anything. So if you've been curious about Luminar but just didn't know how to get started with it, the Luminar 3 with Libraries Essential Training on both LinkedIn Learning and lynda.com, I think will really get you up to speed quickly. And of course, I have links to that title in the show notes on both platforms, both on LinkedIn and Lynda. So you can just go there and click on the appropriate link. I told you, this is a link-heavy podcast with lots of show notes. Now, the other essential training that's out is my Capture One Pro 12 essential training. And I tell you, Capture One Pro 12 is an exciting application for my work. So it's really funny how this division works for me. For my personal work, I love Luminar. I really do. I just love playing with it. I love the images that I come away with. For the work where I have to deliver stuff to clients that looks good, that's clean, that's been shot in RAW, and I've you know, milked everything out of the file that I wanted to, that I could, that I needed to, I love Capture One Pro 12, and also because it has an amazing organizational system. Its RAW decoding, I think, is top-notch. And then they've added some tools that I think are fantastic. They've added things like radio screen. It has, you know, wonderful gradient screen. The layers metaphor is super easy to work with. You know, there's a ton of really good stuff in here. So this essential training, you know, shows all the new features in Capture One Pro 12. It shows you advanced editing and basic editing techniques. And the way that I do the editing in this essential training is that I take a portrait and I show how to edit a portrait in Capture One Pro 12. Then I take a landscape and I use different set of tools for the landscape and I show how to edit that in Capture One Pro 12. And then I take an urban shot and we work on that. So I work on these different types of images with the application to, you know, show you how it's good at all these different types of assignments. So this training, I think, is very useful. And I know that some people, when they first look at the Capture One Pro interface, they feel that's a little daunting. If you just watch these movies, you will get comfortable so quickly. Again, I have a quick start chapter where I just go boom, and I think in like 20 minutes, you're up to speed from start to finish, from importing from a card to exporting finished files out of the application in 20 minutes. So, you know, I have that quick start chapter in addition to all the project chapters that I talked about. I have links to it in the show notes, both again on LinkedIn Learning and lynda.com. So if you want to broaden your image processing horizons and your organizational chops, then I have two very good trainings for you. They're up to speed, both on Luminar 3 and Capture One Pro 12. If you want to get comfortable with either of these apps and it just hasn't been happening, I think these trainings will help immensely. I've been working on the Humboldt Redwoods workshop, and I'm just about ready to send out registration forms to those who are on the reserve list. We have a good itinerary crafted. I have a great place for us to have our headquarters. I have a place for us to stay. I have so many exciting things to do. I'm going to have to whittle that list down a bit. We're going to be in the Redwoods. We're going to be at the Eel River. We're going to be up in, you know, what I consider the most beautiful part of California. Is really going to be something else. If you're interested in this workshop that happens this September, September 18 through 20, go to the Nimble Photographer. Yes, this site is becoming very, very active, isn't it? Go to the Nimble Photographer, click on workshops, and you can get on the reserve list for this workshop. We still have a few seats open. I've had a few folks ping me this week about joining us. But we haven't locked down all the seats yet, so there's still a chance if you're interested. I think it's going to be a fantastic way to end this year's workshop season. And, you know, spending time in the Redwoods, talk about balancing, talk about cooling off, talk about hanging out with your peers, and then talk about getting some great shots, all rolled up into one workshop. It's going to be a beautiful thing, and I hope you can be there. I just want to tip my hat to our Inner Circle members because, you know, I've been talking about the Nimble Photographer podcast. I've been working on this thing for a while and, you know, really trying to find the perfect way to present this content. And I've leaned on our Inner Circle members to help me with that. They actually, you know, listened to a version of the Trey interview way before primetime. I was experimenting with some things there that was soundly rejected by our Inner Circle members and should have been. And I'm forever thankful to them for helping me out with that. But, you know, this is the kind of conversation that I really enjoy with this group because they're very much my trusted advisors. I respect their opinion. I bounce ideas off them. I provide feedback on things like, you know, their photos and so forth. And I just think that we have something very special here. And in addition to all of that, they help support this show. And, you know, in large part, they had much to do with me being able to launch the new show as well. So if you're interested in being part of this inner circle, these folks that help support this podcast, these folks that serve as my online advisors, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. It'll take you over to our site. You can check it out. And I hope you join us. It is really something special, and it's a lot of fun. I want to give a big shout out to my friends at Red River Paper, the folks that provide the printing paper for my inkjet printer. And as I mentioned, I think it was last week, came up again this week because I had to proof some images, and I really wanted them to look right before I send them off to the client. They're very important shots to me. So, you know, I had scrutinized them on the screen. And then I made prints. And this time I made 13 by 19 inch prints on Red River paper. And I lived with them for a day as prints. And it's amazing to me how I discovered things about the image that I had not seen when I was staring at it on a computer screen. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but it happened to me again this week. And I was so glad. I went in there, made some adjustments, made another set of prints, and then I was happy with the images, and then I could send them off to the clients completely confident in what I was sending them. This is the kind of thing that inkjet printing can do. I talk about sharing your work with other people, putting things in their hands, but also helping you see your images in a new way. Red River Paper can help you do that. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. There are just so many different facets to this. Proofing your own work is one of them. Getting your work in the hands of others is another one. And putting your work up on the wall is another one. All of this is covered over at their site. I hope you go over and give them a visit, and a big thanks to them for supporting this show. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you enjoyed the conversations that I had with both Ben and Trey. I hope you go over and take a look at the Nimble Photographer podcast. And I hope this stirs some thoughts for you about your own creative process. I'll be back next week with some really interesting stuff. I hope you come back and join me. Until then, have a fantastic week. Bye-bye now.